Welcome to this episode of the English Premier League Fans in Sri Lanka podcast. It's the 14th of June 2020, and in this episode, we'll be predicting the top 6, the bottom 3, the Golden Boot winner, and also predicting some scores. Hope you enjoy this episode. Thank you for listening in.
Aguero! You're muted! What a headshot! What a head! Had a look, had a hit!
Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining the English Premier League Fans in Sri Lanka podcast. So this is the fourth podcast, and you can't see the number four because I could see your lovely faces on the right-hand side, but it's number four behind our faces. So guys, thanks again for joining this podcast. So we have Hisham, who's representing Liverpool, Rehan, who's representing Newcastle, Feroz is representing Arsenal, and Masjid and Madushka is representing Manchester United. So thanks, guys. Thank you very much for your time. And I really appreciate you guys being here for this podcast. And it's going to be an interesting one. But before, like I said, before I started recording the podcast, I myself am not prepared for this podcast. The only thing I've done is taken your predictions and put it into a Google slide sheet, and I'll see the answers the same time you'll see the answers as well. So we'll see some really interesting stuff. I've seen a few answers, but it'll be really interesting. So just so for everyone who's watching the videos, it'll be available on the Facebook group and also on YouTube. The audio version, the podcast, will also be available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and also now on Apple Podcasts as well. So we are available in quite a variety of channels. All right, so let's get started, guys. So prediction time. Just before we get revealing with the scores as well, so for anyone listening and for you guys as well, so we'll try and keep this under 40 minutes, but having done this for 4 episodes, it's very unlikely we'll be able to finish by 40 minutes. But anyway, so that's been covered in the housekeeping segment before we started recording. But okay, cool. So on the left hand side, you probably I just want to double check with everyone if ever can see the screens.
Yeah.
So on the left-hand side, we have the next, starting kicking off in the 5 days' time, on the Thursday, the 18th of June, on Thursday, the first Premier League game after, I actually don't know how many days, I think it's more than 90, I think it's 3 months right now since we've had a game, but we are kicking off on the 18th. The Premier League kicks off on the 18th, Aston Villa and Sheffield United on the same day, a couple of hours later. So the time you see in the middle is UK time, Man City and Arsenal, and that will be a big game. On Saturday, on the 20th of June, Norwich, Southampton, Spurs, Man United, that will be another really interesting game. Watford, Leicester, and on Sunday, the 21st of June, Brighton versus Arsenal, West Ham, Wolves, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Newcastle, and Sheffield United. And on Monday, the 22nd of June, Aston Villa and Chelsea, and the big Merseyside derby, Everton versus Liverpool. All right, so for everyone watching this video or listening to us through our podcast, so what I have done is I have reached to all our gentlemen here in the panel and asked them to make predictions about the scores. So we'll start off with Aston Villa versus Sheffield United. So it'll be really interesting to see how you guys have different opinions, or some might have very similar opinions about the scores. So let's reveal the Aston Villa versus the Sheffield United game predictions. Okay, so it looks like everyone is kind of, well, except for Astrid, I think everyone is kind of rooting for Sheffield United with this game. The only odd one here is Asjad's prediction of 1-1, the draw. Is there a reason, Asjad, why you decided to go with the draw in this game?
Yeah, reason being that, you know, Aston Villa, they actually had a good start for the season. But then somewhere in between, they actually lost their way, I feel. And now with football returning after almost 3 months of time, they have nothing to lose.
Yep.
They will try to do everything that they can to stay in the Premier League. And they actually have got a really good captain in them, in the likes of Jack Grealish. And because of that being the reason, and also because Sheffield United, they have done really well up at this point. I think Balde has done a great job. But with football returning after such a long time, and because that they have been doing really well in front of goal and in terms of their playing style, I think they have been good. But yet, I feel that with football returning, we'll be able to see a lot of schoolboy errors and, you know, a lot of missed passes. So that being the reason, I would say that this game would be one apiece. And it would be an interesting game to watch because we'll be able to see how, you know, the players' physicality and everything comes into play.
Yeah, I think this game, you don't have to support Aston Villa or Sheffield United. I think everyone will be watching this game because it's the first game after so long. I think it doesn't matter. It can be Aston Villa already, but it doesn't matter. I'll be watching this. I'll be staying up and I'll be watching this. I'm not a huge Aston Villa or Sheffield United fan, but I'll still cheer both these teams on because I'm so glad to see some Premier League football return. Hisham, I'll come to you as well. Your prediction, even though you are predicting Sheffield United to win, you think it'll be a 0-2 affair. Any reason as to why you went with that?
Because one is because, like Astrid said, there would be a lot of schoolboy errors from every team that plays on that plays their first game. But at the same time, Sheffield United has a better defensive record. Their style is not, you know, helter-skelter football. It's very organized. It's very compact. And, you know, even though you're coming after a break to break down a team like Sheffield, I think it'll be very difficult because of the way they play. And Aston Villa aren't the best team going forward. Apart from Jack Grealish, they really lack players who can create a lot. So, and because it's their first game, I feel that they'll be shut out and Sheffield will. I don't think it'll be an easy game for Sheffield. Perhaps one goal in the first half and then again another in the second half, maybe like that. But I feel that Aston Villa won't be able to, you know, get a goal against Sheffield.
Yeah, nicely put. Okay, so I'll quickly move on to the next game, Man City versus Arsenal. And we have an Arsenal fan in the panel, so I'll definitely come to you, Feroz. But before doing the big reveal, let's all in one go quickly say who's going to win this game. 1, 2, 3, go.
City.
Arsenal.
City. Of course, Feroz. Of course. All right, let's do the big reveal. Okay, except for Feroz, everyone's predicting a Man City win. Rehan thinks it'll be a 1-1 affair. I'll come to you, Feroz, just quickly. I know you're probably it is because I don't know if you were. If it was a serious pick or if you were because if you're backing Arsenal in that one, can you explain why you went with the 2-3 scoreline?
So two things. One, I went with the heart. So
of course,
the score kind of reflects my thinking. Second is Arsenal needs to win. I think they were building some momentum at the end of the at the end of the sort of pre-COVID season. And they need to start off strongly. And this was a game that was looked forward at that time. And I feel that the team has worked on certain aspects, but both teams kind of lack in terms of defense. They're very attacking, but in terms of organizing, in terms of protecting the goal, both teams have their shortcomings.
Yeah.
So my kind of score reflects the fact that it will be an aggressive attacking game, but both teams are bound to make mistakes, and especially with the break and also the sort of friendly games that took place in the last couple of days.
Brentford game didn't go well, did it?
Signals are that we will probably see a lot of goals. And sometimes you may also see a lot of mistakes in the games as well.
Yeah. So, Rehan, why did you go with a 1-1 score prediction?
So, the reason why I went with a 1-1 score is because, see, both Arsenal and City have something to lose here, right? And, okay, I don't want to call this in like an opportunity, but given the whole lockdown situation, they've had enough time to think about it and they've been given a second chance, right? And so I feel like with Arsenal, with what's going on and how they stopped before the lockdown ended, depends on how they kept their momentum going. This could be very subjective.
Yeah.
But if they keep that momentum going, if City also keeps that momentum going, it's definitely going to be a 1-1 score. Because they both have a lot to lose here. Because, I mean, Arsenal's not too late to catch up to the Europa League positions. Mm-hmm. And City needs to make a statement against Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah. Being neutral, but I think Hisham might agree with me, but I'll be rooting for Arsenal in this game. Because if Arsenal can pull it off, that means Liverpool can finish the league at Goodison Park, which would be very bitter for a lot of people. But I won't get into detail because I need to be neutral here. Okay, guys. So moving on to the next game on the 20th of June on a Saturday, Norwich versus Southampton. This would be a really interesting game as well. But I guess the Norwich versus Southampton will quickly skip through because Spurs versus Man United, I think there's a lot of talking points in that game. But let's see what happened here. Rehan went with 1-0. Asjad went with 1-2. Madushka went with 1-3. Feroz 1-2. Hisham went 0-2. So it's kind of mixed results. But let me pick maybe I'll come to Madushka. Why did you go with 1-3 with Norwich and Southampton?
Well, before the lockdown, I think Hasenhüttl had done a pretty good job getting the team back from that absolute destruction at Leicester. Mm-hmm. So they were looking good. I think Danny Ings, his movement in and around the box is fantastic.
Yep.
Norwich have been pretty shoddy defensively throughout the season. And the other thing is Norwich are pretty good at home usually, but that suggests that when they don't have their fans backing them, they can be a bit rubbish and they don't have any fans.
Yeah.
So the way I see it, maybe Pukki will pull off some sort of wonder goal or a good finish here or there. But I think overall, I think Hasenhüttl will have Southampton at least going forward. They'll be putting a bit of energy, and I think the three goals might even come before like the 70th minute.
Very interesting. Yeah, you were talking about Danny Ings just before, but I was thinking about how effective he was at Liverpool. He was not effective at all at Liverpool, and then all of a sudden he decides to go to.
Was he? How injured was he at Liverpool? Like, was he? How often was he fit?
He was out most of the time. Maybe Hisham, you might know more details about this, about Danny Ings. Hisham?
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
We were just talking about how Danny Ings was not very effective at Liverpool, then all of a sudden he's gone to Southampton, but and now firing pretty much on almost a golden boot contender. But we were talking about how long he was injured at Liverpool. But I probably think he was injured for a long time. But maybe you know more details about his injury and his effectiveness at Liverpool.
Yeah, I think even before he joined Liverpool, he was a good striker. He was not, world class, but he was in and out the fringes. Like, he did perform well, and that's what got himself a spot at Liverpool. But I think, like you said, he was just unlucky with his injuries. He was, I think, with the first ACL injury, he was out for like 9 months. And the first game he came in, that was, I think, against Tottenham. He came off the bench and then he, I think, injured himself right at the end again. And that, laid him off for like another, probably another season. Yeah. I think at Southampton, he's getting game time and he's being lucky, you know, being healthy and fit. And that's what I think is giving him all those goals.
Very nice analysis there. Really interesting. All right, guys. So let's move on to another big game. This could decide Man United's final position if they finish. Can they finish third? I think they can. But let's see what you guys thought. All right, guys. So just, I don't know if you can see the pop-up. I've got 10 minutes before this meeting runs out. So like I said in the housekeeping segment, I'll finish this meeting and then we'll start another one and quickly go through the remaining predictions you guys made. All right, so Spurs versus Man United. It's kind of really some interesting results. Rehan went with 2-0 to Spurs. Asjad, is it because you're a United fan? You went with 1-2 and same with Madhushkar as well. So you guys went... I think I'll come to you guys for this.
You can say that.
it's one of those things. Like I mean, as a United fan, I was looking forward to this game before the lockdown.
Yeah.
Obviously, our last game against City, we played fantastically well. I don't think I can remember a time where we've pretty much dominated that game for large parts. Mm-hmm. So we were looking at Spurs. Listen, we had Jose Ball for a couple of seasons. We know what Jose is about. We know how he's going to set it up. But at this point, with the lockdown out, I think United's defense has been statistically one of the best in Europe in terms of clean sheets and whatnot. And I think we seem to have gotten into a place where the guys are very well organized. And now with Bruno and Pogba in the same lineup and Rashford coming back. Maybe Spurs will score. So maybe Asjad's 2-1 is a more accurate reflection, but I can't see us losing this game.
Yeah. Asjad, I'll come to you as well. Why did you pick 1-2? And is this because you are a United fan or you just completely analyzed the situation and made a really practical call there?
I think, well, it's a mixture of both. Because if you see, like Madhushankar said, right before the break, we were playing so well. And if we had the match at that stage of the time, I think we would have killed this game off with ease. Because they were without Harry Kane, Song, and many of their first team players who could actually make a difference. And in terms of United, we had Bruno, who became an instant impact at Man United. And I think this is something which a lot of people at United never saw coming. So at the moment, why I went with 1-2 is that because, you see, now I think Madhushankar will agree, for us, more than the match, I think it's fascinating to see how Pogba and Bruno Fernandes will get along. We would want to see how these two play in the same team. Because the moment they start to play together and if they can make an immediate impact, I'll tell you that every other team in the Premier League, when they look at the team sheet, they are going to have a fear in them. Because that's a team which is really doing well in terms of defense. And Martial, Rashford and James up front with speed. And now when you have a midfield which is really strong, I think that would give United the edge over other competitors. And also, because United, after Liverpool, if you see in the last few fixtures, United, they have been in red hot form. So I believe also because we know Mourinho, he would actually go with his tactics. But United were really good against the big players this season. So because of that, I actually feel that United will win this 2-1.
Really, really nice analysis there. But I'll also like to open the floor to Feroz, Rehan and Hisham as well. If you guys have any opinions about, I know, I don't want to get into your score prediction, but if do you see any, do you have any interesting facts or anything that you'd like to see in the game or you think will happen? I'll leave the floor open to you guys for your opinions as well, if you have any.
Madhushka, do you see Pogba and Bruno working together, being in one team? Because
Marshall, your guess is as good as mine, but I mean, they're two quality players. You'd assume that they'd be able to work together. I think it'll probably, because listen, Solskjaer's, Ole's entire philosophy is getting from back to front quite fast. And we were doing that fairly well at the start of the season with Pogba. Then once Pogba got injured, that's when we kind of really went off the boil, attacking wise. Then Bruno came in and he was sort of knitting that midfield, so the defense and the midfield and the attack, just knitting it together nicely. So I think with Pogba and Bruno, maybe defensively, it might mess up the balance, because who's going to sit up? Probably Fred. And Fred has been a revelation in the last couple of months. He's just been so handy, winning the ball back in midfield, just making it really, really annoying for opposition players. I think in the last game, like KDB and all just had a torrid time, because Fred was just like, he doesn't even foul. It's not like he's doing any sort of professional fouling. It's
he's just always he's just there.
He's just buzzing, like just around, like, you know, it's really annoying. And he just gets the second ball. So like someone will get a foot in and there's Fred getting the ball. And he plays a fairly accurate pass into feet up front. So, yeah, I think that could be the only thing. If Bruno and Pogba come in, you're probably taking Fred out. And that could mess up the balance of the team. So,
but I feel that being away from home, Ole might go with Fred. And since Pogba is also coming back into the team, he might use him as an impact sub maybe later in the game. My score has gone with the fact that both of them will start the game, and that would kind of mess up the organizing that United has been kind of building in the last few games. So, and given the fact that Tottenham is quite strong at home, I've gone with a 1-1 score.
That's fine.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I can actually see where you're coming from with that. I don't know about the home and away, how it's going to impact, because there's not going to be any fans, right? So I don't know how much of an impact that would have, but you're absolutely right. If Bruno and Pogba don't click, and it's a bit sloppy and slow and whatnot, and if the goals don't flow early on, as the game goes on, maybe it'll be a bit of a problem. That said, we haven't even touched on the fact that there are 5 subs now, so that's a big thing.
I think, guys, because we're running out of time, I've got 2 minutes and 40 seconds before the meeting stops. But before moving on, I'd like to put in my 2 cents as well. I'll be really interested to see who takes the penalty and how they take the penalty. Oh, because you know, Pogba takes forever, and Bruno's style is
some. It's Bruno, 100%.
He's unique.
But he's been converting, which is good, I think. But Pogba, I think. He'll take a couple of days to.
Pogba should be third after Bruno and Rashford. Like,
I think Rashford could be the first choice.
Very you likely. Think Rashford over Bruno?
Yeah, no,
maybe because he was because you know, before, see, but I don't know.
Yeah. Right before Bruno was, you know, in the club, I think he actually did well with penalties. So I think he should be the assigned penalty taker.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Fair enough. Okay.
Sorry, I'll just cut everyone off for now, because I think we won't have enough time to cover the Watford-Leicester before I run out of time. So I'll stop the recording. I'll end the meeting now. I'll finish the processing of the video and then come back to you guys. So give me about 5 to 10 minutes before I can share the details. So I'll share the details on the next meeting details on the Facebook group that I had created.
Okay.
All right, guys, so I am stopping the screen share right now, and I will end the meeting, and I'll see you guys again in another 10 minutes.
All right, cool.
Or less. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yep, can everyone see it?
Yeah.
All right, so I'll quickly go to where we stopped. So everyone, thanks again for coming back to part 2 of the podcast. Behind the scenes, we kind of discussed, we'll probably kind of quickly go through the next score predictions, and then we'll go to the next slide where it gets actually quite interesting, where we predict the top 6. Well, we should say predict the top 5, right, Hisham? Because the number 1's already sorted. And then we also look at the bottom 3, the relegation contenders, and then we'll look at the golden boot as well. So just next game is Watford versus Leicester. Leicester is a potential third or a fourth place finish, but let's see what you guys thought of the game. And it looks like everyone kind of is going with a Leicester win. So Rehan has gone with 1-3. Asjad has gone with a 1-0 win to Leicester. Madushka has gone with a 2-1. Feroz has gone with a 2-0. And Hisham, you've gone with a 1-1. In 30 seconds, can you summarize why have you gone with a 1-1 score?
Well, for me, I just feel that Leicester, you know, over-reliance on, you know, key players like Jamie Vardy, you know, players like that. And I think most of their players are, there are a lot of transfer rumors, you know, going around them. Ben Chilwell's linked with Chelsea. So, you know, I just feel that there'll be a bit of unsettledness in Brendan Rodgers' team.
Yep.
And it's their playing style as well. They're based on, you know, counter-attacking football. So I just feel that there'll be a rustiness in them. And if, I mean, I might be wrong, but if Jamie Vardy or, you know, one of, apart from individual brilliance, I don't see them really putting up, you know, a big performance on the day. And against Watford, who are fighting for the relegation, it's just that I don't feel Watford, you know, have the quality to get past Leicester, but they will put up a fight.
Yep.
It's just because it's the first game for both these teams, I guess, you know.
Yep.
It's a 1-1 draw for me.
Interesting. Yep. I can relate to your prediction there. Okay. All right. So the next game on the 21st of June, we have Brighton versus Arsenal. I'll come to Feroz, but I once again predict that Feroz has gone for an Arsenal win, but let's see what the guys had to say. All right, so Rehan went with 1-0, Asjad with a draw of 2-2, Madushka has a draw as well of 1-1, Feroz went with 3-1 for Arsenal, of course, Feroz, and Hisham went with a 2-0 win for Arsenal as well. Feroz, just quickly, do you think Arsenal can pull it off after the Brentford defeat of 3-2? Do you think there'll be an upset against Brighton?
Well, it's an upset if Arsenal loses. I think you can't read into the practice games. Those friendlies are used to get people or the players into form, get their fitness in check. And if you really look at it, United has lost to Norwich. And I think even Tottenham...
Spurs lost to Norwich, Masha.
Spurs lost to Norwich. And I think United... lost to West Brom, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, West Brom.
So these are not games where you can read into it and kind of gauge what will happen at the Premier League. It's just practice games. But I'm going for an Arsenal win because Arsenal needs to get back into top four. So they have a lot to lose. And they will come, hopefully, all guns blazing. And there will be goals in this game. So I've gone for a 3-1.
Yep. Okay. That's a good way of looking at it as well. All right, guys. So quickly moving on. We'll probably power through the next few games, but yeah. Probably stop at...
Before you move on, just to say a little bit about Arsenal. So my only concern, I'll say I was being a little bit generous. I think Arsenal might struggle just because there's only a 2-day turnaround between the City game and the Brighton game. So I don't know fitness levels wise, because I know the style of football Pep Guardiola likes to play, and obviously the style of football Mikel Arteta likes to play requires a lot of intensity, you know, off the ball running, you know, getting behind the defense, and a lot of pressing.
Yep.
So for me, I'm doubtful that they'll be able to put two of their first 11s out for both games, which means that against Brighton, they might have a weaker side and it could be a little bit dodgy for Arsenal.
Yeah.
Just because of the turnaround. That turnaround is very
Might be looking at a couple of injuries as well. Everyone's coming back all of a sudden. I don't think a lot of players will be ready as well. So, it'll be really interesting to see. All right, guys, so let's quickly power through the next two games and then probably take a deeper look at Newcastle because it's Rehan's team. But West Ham versus Wolves, I think everyone's gone for a Wolves win, whereas Hisham has gone for a draw. But guys, I won't stop in this game for a deeper analysis because we need to get to the next slide. But I just noticed that Astrid and Feroz, you have pretty much the same prediction with the West Ham and Wolves game, which is very interesting. I'm so tempted to kind of come to you guys and ask why you went with that, but because you're conscious of time, we'll probably quickly proceed to the next games as well. So Bournemouth versus Crystal Palace. Rehan went with the Bournemouth win, 2-0. Astrid went with the Crystal Palace win, 1-0. Madushka went with a 3-1 win for Bournemouth. Feroz went with a draw, 1-1. Hisham went with a 3-0 win for Crystal Palace. Once again, guys, I'd really like to stop and ask you guys for your insights as to why you went with there are some really interesting scores, Madushka's and Hisham's score. I am so tempted to ask, but guys, we'll quickly power through. But the next game, really interesting here, Newcastle versus Sheffield United. I think I know what Rehan's pick might have been. I'm just bluffing. Let's see. And of course, Rehan went for a Newcastle win. Very modest 1-0 win. Astrid went with a 2-2 draw. Madushka went with 1-1. Feroz and Hisham both went with 2-0 for Sheffield. Rehan, to you. Do you think this 1-0 score will happen?
I was being very modest about that, right? Obviously, I went with my heart. But, you know, Newcastle at home, they're really strong. We don't generally, we don't lose easily at home. And when it comes to Sheffield United and what both teams want, right? So when we stopped at the final before lockdown happened, we had a really good form. We were picking things up. Stevie's tactics were finally working. Players were gaining momentum. And with lockdown happening, we had a few players on the injuries list, minor injuries, Shelby and a few others as well. So with the season resuming, we should be able to pick up a little bit. Sheffield United, they're already seventh. To come to that sort of stage, they already have exhausted their momentum. They're already way above expectation. We still have a lot more to go. We still, normally we'd like to finish 10th. We still have something to go forward with. Okay, this is really modest, but yeah, that's why I went with the 1-0 win. Okay. There's always a possibility that Sheffield United can come behind.
Can pull something off the bag. I don't think I've come to Astrid in a while, but Astrid, why did you go with a 2-2 prediction?
Yeah, so if you see both of these teams, they have had their equal share of ups and downs during the season. And also because, Newcastle, their style of play, and it's not the most convincing. And also, if you look at Sheffield, they have done just the opposite. And their counter-attacking is good, their pressing is good. So because that being a reason, I actually expect Sheffield United to score two. But as said before, because Newcastle, they are playing at home. Yeah. I don't know how far is the home advantage going to play a part here, because it's without the fans, of course. Mm-hmm. Still, I would expect them also to pull this off and maybe share points after this match.
If Mike Ashley is not on the field, it's very likely they'll win. But I'm having a go. If he doesn't show up, there's a very high chance of Newcastle pulling things off. But anyways, guys. All right. So let's move on to. But before I go to the next game, did you guys have any opinions about this course that I kind of quickly powered through, or any opinions about the Newcastle versus Sheffield game? Or are you guys happy?
The only thing I would add about the Newcastle thing is that there might be a little bit of added motivation for Newcastle players considering the takeover. Because, if you are a Newcastle player, you probably want to be around when... When the salaries are being negotiated.
New contracts, that's actually happening right now with the Longstaff brothers as well.
Exactly. So I think there'll be a lot of motivation for some of those youth players, the younger players, all that. That said, Newcastle throughout the season haven't really imbued any confidence in me in terms of going forward. So I went for a 1-1 because I thought, they could score. But maybe Sheffield will be... too good for them.
Cool. That's really interesting, guys. So that's pretty much Sunday, the 21st of June covered. And then pretty much the next, to sum off the I think game week 30, I can't remember, but to sum off the week, we've ended on Monday, the 22nd of June, but I think there's a game a couple of days later. So if I had to go, and then I'll have to have 2 weeks in a row because there's games a day after each other. It's a very congested fixture list. So we are stopping on Monday, the 22nd of June. Aston Villa versus Chelsea. So let's see what you guys went with the prediction. Is everyone is pretty much going for a landslide Chelsea win, whereas Madushka has gone with a 2-2. I'll actually come to you, Madushka. Why did you go with a 2-2 scoreline?
So my first instinct was Chelsea win. I'm not going to lie. I was, okay, so they should have this because Aston Villa's defense has been awful. Mm-hmm. I can't believe they're being coached by John Terry. It's an appalling, like they've been really bad defensively. That said, when we spoke about Villa right at the top of the podcast, we said, you know, they're fighting for their lives, relegation battle. You've got Jack Grealish who can take a man on. You got John McGinn coming back from injury, and he was really instrumental in Villa's attack at the start of the season. So I think Chelsea, they've been a bit dodgy defensively. I think they've created a lot of chances, but defensively they've not been the strongest. And at left back, Alonso gets forward, but he doesn't really defend. Reece James has been good, but the centre backs have been really questionable, and they're keeping. I mean, Kepa. I don't know what's happening with Kepa. So I think Caballero might still be preferred to Kepa over there. Yeah. So, yeah, I think Chelsea will score more than one. But I do think Villa have it in them to, you know, maybe nick a late equaliser or something like that.
Yeah. The biggest score line, the difference-wise, so Feroz and Hisham pretty much went for the same score. Rehan, you went with 3 for Chelsea. Yeah. Is there a reason why you think they'll have a really an incredible upfront line? Is there a reason why you went with 3 goals for Chelsea?
Yeah, so at this point, Aston Villa has one of the worst home records. So I went with that. And then you have the whole Chelsea momentum where they to preserve the fourth spot. So there's a lot of, motivation to actually go ahead because they need to not only increase on points, but also on goal difference as well to, you know, keep that pace going. So that's why I went with a 3-0 because that's what they need to focus on if they want to stay in the Champions League positions.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, guys. So let's quickly move on to the next game. In my opinion, one of the biggest games, well, provided Man City and Arsenal, if something happens there, this would be a really interesting game. Man on focus right now is Hisham and your prediction. So guys, let's do a reveal. Rehan 2-1 for Liverpool. I think everyone's gone for a Liverpool win except for Feroz, who's gone with a 2-2 prediction. But man on focus, the Liverpool fan, Hisham, why did you go with a 3-1? And at Goodison Park, do you think 3-1 is a possible result?
Well, I think one, Everton are facing a lot of injury concerns. Sidibe is out, Theo Walcott is out, Aaron Gomez is still touch and go. They have all of their key players. These players which I just mentioned are key players for them. They are not training. They are out injured, possibly until July. And apart from that, usually Liverpool versus Everton at Goodison Park or at Anfield is going to be a feisty affair because it's the derby. But this time, I think because there are no fans, I don't know how the atmosphere is going to be, whether they'll adapt that, you know, atmosphere thing which they do in the Bundesliga. But Liverpool will know that they need to get the job done as quickly as possible overall regarding the title. So if, I think regardless of the result which happens at the Etihad against Arsenal, I think Liverpool will go all guns blazing. And the other reason I'm going with a 3-1 win is I've been following the Liverpool, the pre-season friendlies which they're playing right now. And I think they're playing some breathtaking football. I mean, Naby Keita, hope he's fit and he'll start this game. He and even Minamino is just absolutely brilliant. I mean, those two guys were, you know, out of sorts just before this. We took this break. But right now, I know they're playing against small opposition. But against the game which they played, the two games which they played, they're absolutely brilliant. And if Liverpool can, it's a very contrasting style right now, which they're playing. during this behind doors friendlies. But if they can maintain that, I think it will really help them, because they're going to play a lot of teams who are going to shut the shop early on.
Yeah.
So if they can play, I think with the style they're in and the form they're in, from the games which I've watched right now, I think it'll be hard to beat Liverpool.
Yep. Interesting. Really interesting. Feroz, I'll come to you as well. Feroz, you going with a 2-2, but just really quickly, if you can sum it up in 30 seconds, why did you go with a 2-2? Is it emotions or practical?
You know, the least that Everton can do to dampen the celebration is to beat Liverpool, which I highly doubt that they'll be able to achieve. So I went with a draw, at the least that they can do.
Yeah. All right, nice one. Quick summary, really interesting. All right, guys, so that is the final score predictions. And thank you very much for your insights. It's really interesting. I would have loved to go into detail with every prediction, but unfortunately, because we are time conscious, we'll cut it short. We'll quickly proceed to the next round, which is the very interesting round. This is what I've been trying to get to the whole day. But here we go. So, okay, this will be a